to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining a community of writers, poets, lovers of the spoken word. Welcome home. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the July 24th, 2020 edition. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. I'm sitting digitally, virtually across from my co-host, producer, the man who keeps everything moving, whose beard is looking absolutely Grecian this evening. Yes, exactly. You look like a Greek deity. I have to be honest with you. It's in a good way.
Well, thank you.
Not in a negative way. Is that a negative thing to say to somebody?
I don't know.
You look like a Greek deity because of the beard. Anyway, JT is sitting across from me. How are you this evening?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm happy. It's been a good week. I've had a rough time.
Yeah.
This last week. This has been a time where people are observing something very serious.
Oh.
They have been, there's been a lot of cooking outside this last week. There's been a lot of, it's been really hard for me to buy ketchup in the grocery store. It always seems to be sold out. Huh. It's almost like the toilet paper of a few months ago.
Yeah.
But now it's ketchup and mustard.
Wow.
You know, it's just really... something, and I've been asked a bunch of times to defend my position on if a hot dog is a sandwich or not.
Right.
And of course, I know this might sound strange unless you understand the context, which is that on the 22nd of July, we had my favorite holiday, the day that makes Christmas, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, Valentine's Day, the 4th of July, everything just pale in comparison. I'm talking, of course, about the United States National Hot Dog Day.
Yahoo!
Exactly. And one thing that I think is really exciting about National Hot Dog Day is that it is also held in the middle of July, which is National Hot Dog Month.
Yay!
Exactly. So I feel that this is something that we really should be bringing up on the show. There's a lot of seriousness in the world, and I think this is also very serious. So what I will be asking... And JT, I'll start with you. How did you, if you did at all, acknowledge and celebrate National Hot Dog Day? Or, if you haven't already, how do you plan on celebrating National Hot Dog Month?
Ah, well, my plan, because I have not been able to yet, my plan is to...
Let me down, man. You're letting me down.
Hey.
We're 24 days in.
24, I know. And tomorrow's the 25th. So I'm planning on getting...
That's how it works.
Yeah, typically. I'm planning on getting 36 dogs.
Whoa!
And barbecuing them tomorrow. That way I can, you know...
So are you going to eat all those yourself, though?
No, I'm going to have help.
Okay, good. I was going to say, that's a lot.
It's a lot of dogs.
So that would be... Yeah, that's a lot of dogs.
That's a lot of dogs. I got some lost time to make up for.
That's true.
Now, I'm going to eat a lot of them without a bun because That's a lot of bread.
But here's the difference, though, is a hot dog, and I understand like that we call it the same thing, whatever, fine. Yeah. But I'm talking about just the actual nature of the object.
Yeah.
Is it a hot dog without a bun?
Ah. See,
you,
to
you
me,
know, because yeah, it's, other than that, it's just a sausage.
Well, no, I think it's because it's made with different stuff.
Fair.
But fair. Yes, I get what you're saying.
Right.
So,
and there's hot dogs that are made with different things also, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it's interesting. Now, I personally hold the fact that I think tacos and hot dogs are almost exactly the same idea.
You know what? They kind of are, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
We think we're being all inventive with tacos. It's just another hot dog. Or vice versa.
I was going to say, or the other way around.
Hmm. Or my footlong tacos. That's my question.
Maybe I should get some the corn tortillas and make taco dogs. Or hot taco dogs.
Hot taco dogs. It's like Noah's Arcade. It's perfect when you ram them together. All right. So
sorry, couldn't help myself.
All right. That's an insight. By the way, so that crack right there, that joke, is we did a festival for a long time. We still may resurrect the festival, maybe not under the name.
Right.
The name Posick Festival, which was not come up by us. And it was just come up with by ramming the words poetry and music together.
Yeah.
And we joked around that there's a movie, Wayne's World, where this guy named something Noah, his last name was Noah, had a game arcade called Noah's Arcade. And someone commented on how clever it was. And he's like, yeah, my wife came up with it. She said, yeah, I just opened up my mouth and out it came.
That's right.
And it just dawned on everybody that how silly it was. And that's kind of how we felt Posick, the title of Posick was. That's what that whole thing was about. All right. So this evening, we have some special things happening. One, I want to hear how you're celebrating National Hot Dog Month. Or how did you celebrate National Hot Dog Day? I understand that sometimes we might let it slip away from us because there's a lot going on in the world right now. And I understand. And I'm not even talking about having pork-based hot dogs. You can have all beef. That's cool, too. That's fine. Absolutely. I'm not judging anybody. In fact, I prefer all beef when I'm eating those hot dogs. But this is something I feel is American to the core in a good way. And I don't mean like military parades, everything blowing up kind of thing. I mean, it goes with baseball, damn it.
Yes.
That's what matters.
Yes.
Speaking of which, baseball's starting again, but we'll talk about that later.
Yes.
Now, we've got some other pastimes to observe tonight. We've got some great poetry, from great community. We're going to be unveiling the identity of our mysterious poet of the month. I don't want to give away the identity of the poet of the month. However, if you're dead set on reading one and you really want to figure out who it is, someone might have accidentally pressed publish early on the poet of the month page on the website. So if you go there and look it up, you'll probably get a head start. Just a hint. Now, before we get into the rest of it, we're going to lay down our rules, what we do on the show. So rule number one. Actually, I'm going to go to the thing here because I want to make sure I get them in the right order. I remember all the rules. Ah, see, now I got to turn my sound down. Okay, here we go. All right, so rule number one, no hate speech. We've never done that. We never will do that on this show. Rule number two, or rule number dos, as they may say internationally, please skew PG-13 if you can. We're trying to make this a friendly place for families and for younger people, and we want to make this a place where they feel comfortable coming to. So with that in mind, we try to skew PG-13 with our work. If it's artistic, we may not jump in. But if it's all over the top, we reserve the right to come in and ask you to read it at a later date or during a more adult-oriented segment. Rule number three, please be prepared with your poem when we come on the line. It just is respecting. It helps the show flow better. Rule number four, please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes long. We will talk a little bit before and after, but we do time the show. We're really trying to be circumspect with how much time we take, and we pay attention to the flow of the show. And it really is important. And I think that's one thing that maybe we play things so loose sometimes, people aren't aware that we're timing everything and we're paying attention to how it feels. And so that's something we've been doing for years now. And so we've just noticed that this helps. So no longer than 3 to 5 minutes long. Rule number five, this is just like your favorite forums, your favorite Facebook groups. It's a place for us to come together, to work together. And yeah, we can mention something cool we're up to, but it's not a forum for spamming. It's not a forum for promotion. It's none of those things. So, you know, we'll just keep that in mind. It's just be cool like you are in your favorite Facebook groups. And rule number six, we love your comments. We love suggestions. We do take them and add them to the show to make the show better. However, during the show, JT and I are both doing a lot of stuff, and it's hard for us to remember. If you will email those comments and suggestions instead of telling us, just send it to us in an email at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or at worldpoetryopenmic.net in the contact form, and we will take it and talk about it during our weekly meetings. And we oftentimes do add it to the show and use it to make the show better. All right. One other thing I'm going to throw out here, JT, before we get into it.
Yes.
We've been talking about, for a better part of a year, World Poetry Magazine.
We have.
And I'm happy to report that finally we are within about a week or two of officially accepting submissions for our first quarterly magazine. The magazine will be coming out. It'll be free, so you'll be able to send it to friends and family, no problem. But it will be coming out before Christmas, right around time for the holidays, will be our first.
So apparently Skype wanted to update over here, so now it's running. I'm going to close that. Keep talking, Michael. Sorry about that. Oh, hang on. I'm sorry, Michael. Hang on. It jacked up the sound. Let's see if we've got Michael back. Where did you go? Uh-oh. I have lost Michael's audio. Oh. We're not there yet, folks. Hang on a few moments. We're not there for Skyping yet. We're not there for calls, okay? I apologize. This is really hard to do over three computers, let me tell you. Okay. Quit Skype. Oh, good stuff, Michael. It's great stuff, let me tell you. Okay. Try now? Nope. Still lost you. Man, Skype just jacked me up. Hey, Michael, can you hear me?
I can.
I can now hear you. Oh, my goodness.
Is it better now?
Stall, JT, stall. That's all I was doing, folks. Thank you, Michael.
JT, you can do it. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
All right. So at any rate, the thing I was trying to tell everybody is that we will be making the actual announcement. You, of course, just like we said, you'll have a special link to submit things. But then if you're wanting to encourage other poets to submit, there'll be another link that is going to be through Submittable. So it's just a special link for the diehard listeners and people in the show. It should save you a little bit of money. We're not charging a lot for the submission fee, but it's kind of a good gatekeeper thing to make sure we're getting the kind of work we need. We know that you guys will send in the kind of work that we're looking for because we know you. We have that relationship. But everybody else, we want to make sure that we're making them at least pause and consider what they're submitting before they do so.
Yes.
All right. So we've got through all of that. Now I'm back on. It works. JT, you're good?
I'm good.
All right, my friend. Woo. All right. So we're going to be getting ready to head into the first segment. We're going to need five unique colors. The number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
Like Superman flying into the sun, we're back for the first segment.
Woo!
And JT, some stellar choices tonight.
Yeah?
We've got, what was the rap tune you played? Who was that?
So, started off with I Don't Ever Want to See You Again.
Okay.
By Uncle Sam. And okay. Then I played Yes Indeed by Lil Baby and Drake.
Okay, Lil Baby and Drake. And then was Pat Boone.
I followed it up with Pat Boone and Perry Como.
And I thought that was fantastic. And who was the artist in the last tune you just played?
John Fred and his Playboys.
Oh, the iconic John Fred and his Playboys. They're still out there somewhere tearing it up.
Oh, I'm sorry. The name is different. His Playboy band.
What?
Excuse me.
Oh, okay. That's
my apologies.
Okay. So... I hear they're serious. They don't take those things lightly, JT.
No, that's right.
They may show up at your place.
I know. That's the way I know. All I know how musicians can be. Yes, sir.
You know what I'm going to do right now?
What you going to do?
I'm going to announce the identity of our July 2020 World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month. Really kept us in suspense there, JT.
You did well.
All right. Very nice. Very nice. Okay. So, all right. Once again, every month we give out clues as to the identity of a poet, and we do it over the first few weeks. Then we announce the poet's name. For just the clues, very quickly, week number one, the clues were, number one, blues rise up from weary Kansas. Number two, the story swirls in a big sea. Number three, a true man of the Renaissance. Week two, the clues were this. Clue number one, Sue wore red. Clue number two, simple inspired books. And clue number three, 20 East, 127 houses, the memories. The identity of our poet of the month is none other than Langston Hughes. Langston Hughes was born February 1st, 1902 in Joplin, Missouri. His parents divorced when he was a young child, and his father moved to Mexico. He was raised by his grandmother until he was 13, when he moved to Lincoln, Illinois to live with his mother and her husband, and the family eventually settled in Cleveland, Ohio. It was in Lincoln that Hughes began writing poetry. After graduating from high school, he spent a year in Mexico, followed by a year at Columbia University in New York City. During this time, he worked as an assistant cook, a launderer, a busboy. He also traveled to Africa and Europe working as a seaman. In November 1924, he moved to Washington, D.C. His first book of poetry, The Weary Blues, was published by Alfred A. Knopf in 1926. He finished his college education at Lincoln in Pennsylvania 3 years later. His first novel, Not Without Laughter, won the Harmon Gold Medal for Literature. And there's so much more about his life that is inspiring and amazing. If you want to learn more about him, you can go to worldpoetryopenmic.net, go to Poet of the Month, click on Read More, and it'll take you to some more biographical information and work and all kinds of things. But I'm really excited. This was a perfect Poet of the Month. JT actually chose this one. Props to you, JT.
Thank you.
And this is Langston Hughes. He's our July 2020 Poet of the Month. All right, so now that we're heading into the poetry section of the show, we're going to start off with a submission, which is coming to us from none other than our great friend Natalia Govsha. This one's called Look at the Sky. If you look at the sky, you'll be surprised how the stars love you, how proud they are of you, that you are walking along the earthly road of the rye world by rocks and thorns, under the pelting rain and the scorching sun on slippery ice, measuring it with a celestial yardstick. If you look at the sky, you'll be surprised how the stars love you, and they are proud of you, how hard you try to find life in your years. Because the pain of life is visible through tears, corrodes years of life, appears and disappears. And then, the end of the lane with the gorgeous friend, pain If you look at the sky, you'll be surprised how the stars love you, how proud they are of you. And that was Look at the Sky by Natalia Govsha. Wonderfully done, Natalia. Thank you very, very much. And like I always say, if you want to be like Natalia, if you want to submit a piece of work, you can do it by sending it to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or put it in the contact form at worldpoetryopenmic.net. Now, here's something I do have to throw out, though, since I just said that, before we get into the rest of the callers.
Yes.
Because I think he's on the show. I think he's listening. James, Jim, he sent in some poetry. It got buried in another email chain.
Oh.
You know, sometimes very randomly. Right. I don't know why it happens. So forgive us. We missed that. I didn't even see that you had sent something until just before the show, but it was last week. So forgive me for not seeing that and for not reading that. I don't know how I missed it. So I do apologize, but it's there. I know you're on the show, so maybe you'll read those tonight. We can talk about when you're on the air, but that's a public apology from me for not seeing your work, and my apologies. We'll try to do better. All right, now let's head to our first caller. We're going to be heading to Lansing, Michigan, to visit with Chris. Hello, Chris. Good evening.
Good evening. I don't know if I can follow her poem. That was really good.
It was, wasn't
it? I wish there was a place I could read it.
You know, right. I'll find out where I found out. She doesn't really give a link, so I'll find out a good place where I can recommend that we go to find her.
Well, please do, because that would be worth taking the time to listen to again. You read it well. I'd like to see it myself as well.
Absolutely. I can understand that. Anyway, I'll find out, and I'll report back.
Thank you. Anyway, I've got one that I finished just before the show. I haven't even posted it yet, and that's the one I want to read here, and that's why I wrote it. And I've got a short one for the return engagement, so I just wanted to let you know. The second one's going to be a lot shorter than this one. But this one struck me as an important thing to read, and I think you'll see why as it goes on. The name of the poem is Coming Home. I wander the world often, alone now, following paths and events, happenings as they affect people, the people that share our existence and deal with their own as well, best as they can. Here and every other here, worldwide. Hunger is always and ever a basic issue. Being out of the weather as well. Being cold and wet sucks. If you've been there, well, you know. And if not, well, you know now. Money is more often only a means to an end. Few have more than basic needs. Money matters in the ways it need be spent to provide for care and welfare of family and sometimes even friends. Many societies are lost in status, products and styles, manufactured needs, pretties, as I call them. They really don't matter except as social feel-goods, pretties that make the me's better than so many of the you's that surround them, least in their perceptions and sad minds. Some pretties you couldn't even pawn for more than a bare pennies on the dollar fraction of the retail, even when it's on sale price. It's always perceptions that drive people. Last eve, I listened to a newly arrived poetess, India-based, M. Sharma, her name, real or pseudo, I don't know. Her work poor on roads, and this isn't a plug, at Writer's Cafe, brought to mind several news pieces I'd followed as this pandemic grew and other events, locusts, drought, floods, combined on the world stage to affect people in marginal situations. People deeply rooted in societal events that had no means to otherwise deal and had to uproot and move or return to other places to have even a bare chance at survival. Survival, not continue to acquire pretties and social smiles. Survival. She, M. Sharma, described them as poor, and yes, they are poor. But that doesn't take away their heart and humanity from them. Only all the others of us can do that. Coming home. As we grow, we leave home to find our paths, futures, to build lives, families of our own. Our paths take us far afield, through life, to life. Sometimes events, like our present, overshadow all that is and could be. And we need to return to our roots for strength, guidance, even nurturing, because we hurt so. Hurt so physically, emotionally, socially, and sometimes even existence, our own existence is threatened. It's too easy getting caught up in our own fears to not be aware of life, of others' existences, of even how they get caught up in their fear. So many are so lost today, and the tears are just so much rainfall. And he hits Solstrom. The end.
What a thoughtful and solid way to start the evening.
You got good people here, and we appreciate you. And like I said, I want to see that reference for her, because that was a moving piece, and I'd really like to be able to just read it a couple of times. Not just once, but a couple of times. It'd be worth it. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you, sir. And I will find out, and maybe I'll even know an answer before the end of the show. So we'll see what I can tell you, okay?
That will be awesome.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I leave it to you guys to continue. Thank you. Be safe.
All right. Appreciate you, sir. Thank you. All right. And that was Chris calling from Lansing, Michigan, in the number one spot here in our first segment for the evening, setting a great tone. We've had two wonderful pieces of poetry shared this evening already. And I think this bodes well for the evening, JT. What do you think?
I agree.
Yeah, I do too. So let's go to another poet we know absolutely knocks out of the park. We're going to go to Connecticut to visit with Barbara. Good evening, Barbara. How are you?
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I looked back a while, a little bit earlier today. I looked back at some videos I was doing every morning, kind of towards the beginning of the lockdown. And I was starting to talk about how the days kind of bleed all together and everything like that. And now I can look back a few months later and just go, oh, you have no idea. They bleed together.
It's like I saw this video a month ago, I think it was. And it had a woman sitting on one side of a table with another woman exactly like her. her double sitting on the other side of the table, and one was her 3 months ago before the pandemic. Oh. And then the next one was her during the pandemic. And then they did a second one where she was, again, like a month ago, and then, you know, like a month later. It's just like everything has changed. It's, you can't even think about anything. And I don't think about it. I try not to think about it and just try to immerse myself in as much of the world as I can without being unsafe. And I'll talk about it after the poem. The poem, this poem is, if anybody knows, is my friend on Facebook, you can go to my Facebook page and look it up, because it's on, it's a photo of me, like, it's like with lines all around, like I'm twirling. You know, and a friend of mine did this graphic for me, and I had to write about it. And it's called "Thank You for Your Vision." In this photo, I am a body in motion, twirling around so fast, everything is a blur. Maybe earlier in my life, I was like this, running around constantly without thinking. So parts of me became out of focus, as if my body could not concentrate on the outside and the inside at the same time. I care too much for the people around me, constantly trying to please them and not thinking about myself. My life was a constant circle of neediness from all sides, and I never realized I was lost in that tangle of other people's wants and desires. I was a plant being choked by the weeds of others. Each day, the roots of these stifled my existence, though no one could tell from the outside, for the plant continued to grow, but new buds didn't form, and soon it had only one bloom. Now you show me with a smile as I circle around in a blur. That is the real me inside that has finally been able to bloom without the outside weeds pummeling me, for I have discovered that my needs are the most important. And though I will never ignore the others around me, they do not choke me with their desires. I grow free, and though my leaves may be withering a bit, the blossoms are now budding. End poem.
I can resonate with that piece even myself. JT, what did you think?
I enjoyed it very much.
He's typing and nodding like, Michael, I wish you wouldn't have asked me when I had to type something in. Barbara, great job.
But you really can see the photo of me. It's crazy. It's like in rectangle, in actually squares. And she's taken a picture of me from one of my pictures, and she's like put the squares around it. So it seems like I'm like in this whirling kind of situation. It looks like I'm twirling. Anyway, so what I was going to say is I did immerse myself in the world this weekend. We went to a farm stand. Hello?
Okay. Hello?
You hear me?
We're there.
Yeah. Did you hear?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. We went to a farm stand, and the reason was I wanted to get corn. And so we couldn't get corn anywhere that was safe or whatever. So we went to a farm stand thinking, oh, it'll be outside, but it wasn't. It was inside in this store. But they had all the vegetables out on counters, and it was so cool. I mean, all these fresh vegetables just staring up at me. It was so wonderful. And it was all, you know, organic stuff, and it was just so awesome. And having fresh vegetables in front of me was just like a dream come true, and everyone was wearing masks, and we were very safe. And there were a few more people than I thought would be in this tiny store, but, you know, so we weren't totally social, but people were wearing masks, so I didn't feel bad. And then we had all these fresh vegetables, and it was very cool. So that was my experience in the world, and then spent the entire rest of the week in the house. So maybe we'll go out again on the weekend, but yeah, that's what I'm doing. Plus, I'm wonderful poetry tonight. Chris's piece was amazing, and the new poet of the month, amazing too. I can't wait to find his poems and read them. And good show, Michael, so far. Keep it up. Talk to you later.
Well, we will do our best. JT is holding it down. So
JT, cool.
As long as
JT.
He keeps that sign up, I'll do my best.
Okay. All right. Talk to you later
so much,
in the return. All right. Bye bye.
All right. Talk to you later. Thank you.
Okay.
And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut, the second poet in our first segment here. All right. Now, where am I? Okay. Sorry. Not where am I, actually. I was looking at the list of the poets who are
coming
up here.
This is good.
All right. Now we're going to head back to Michigan, and we're going to check in with one of our longest supporters, Dennis.
Hello, it's Friday night.
All right, Dennis, are you there?
Yeah.
It is. Welcome, welcome.
Yes, best night of the week.
How are you?
And you were asking.
How's everything going where you are?
It's good. It's going good. It's going good. A National Hot Dog Day and month. I think I'm going to go out and get 2-foot-long Coney dogs with the chili and the onions and top it with mustard and have a feast.
that sounds like the right way to go about this. I think you obviously are a professional, Dennis.
Oh, I've been there. That's a great holiday.
Well, wonderful. It's a very important holiday. Yes. Especially in a year like this one, we got to remember what's good in this place. So
that's right.
So now that we've established that, what do you have for us?
All right. With our poet of the month being Langston Hughes, I have a cover poem of his, and the title is "Let America Be America Again." Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain, seeking a home where he himself is free. America was never America to me. Let America be the dream of the dreamers dreamed. Let it be that great, strong land of love, where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme that any man be crushed by the one above. It never was America to me. Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic reef, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free. Say, who are you that mumbles in the dark? And who are you that draws your veil across the stars? I am the poor white, fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro bearing slavery scars. I am the red man driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching the hope I seek and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog eat dog, of mighty crush the weak. I am the young man, full of strength and hope, tangled in that ancient endless chain of profit, power, gain, of grab the land, of grab the gold, of grab the ways of satisfying need, of work the men, of take the pay, of owning everything for one's own greed. I am the farmer, bondsman to the soil. I am the worker sold to the machine. I am the Negro, servant to you all. I am the people, humble, hungry, mean. Hungry, yet today, despite the dream. Beaten, yet today, oh, pioneers. I am the man who never got ahead, the poorest worker bartered through the years. I am the one who dreamt our basic dream in the old world while still a serf of kings, who dreamt a dream so strong, so brave, so true that even yet its mighty daring sings in every brick and stone, in every furrow turned. That's made America the land it has become. Oh, I'm the man who sailed those early seas in search of what I meant to be my home. For I am the one who left dark Ireland's shore and Poland's plain and England's grassy lea and torn from Black Africa's strand, I came to build a homeland of the free. The free? Who said the free? Not me. Surely not me. The millions on relief today? The millions shot down when we strike? The millions who have nothing for our pay? For all the dreams we've dreamed, and all the songs we've sung, and all the hopes we've held, and all the flags we've hung, the millions who have nothing for our pay, except the dream that's almost dead today. Oh, let America be America again, the land that never has been yet, and yet must be the land where every man is free. The land that's mine, the poor man's, the Indians, Negroes, me, who made America, whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain, must bring back our mighty dream again. Sure, call me any ugly name you choose. The steel of freedom does not stain. From those who live like leeches on the people's lives, we must take back our land again, America. Oh, yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me. And yet, I swear this oath, America will be. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies, We, the people, must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and the endless plain. All the stretch of these great green states, and make America again. End of poem. A poem by Langston Hughes.
Wow. First of all, great read, Dennis. Secondly, fantastic choice. That thing sounds like it could have been written yesterday. Don't you think, JT?
It's a contemporary. It's vital today. You know, it's meaningful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, everything resonated just straight down the line hearing that piece. And your delivery was fantastic, too. Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful showing.
Thank you, Dennis, for picking that piece.
Langston Hughes could really express himself and get across what needed to be said. And he didn't dance around it. He told it straight. And that's what we are hearing more of today. And that's what we need to keep in front of us. We need to know that, and we need to respond accordingly. That people have been mistreated. People have been denied the things that others enjoy. And it shouldn't be that way. So hopefully we're making a better world through the protest, through the speaking up, through the acknowledgement of wrongs. And hopefully a good will come. And that we may be more proud to be the Americans we should be.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, sir. We appreciate you. We appreciate that choice. And the message is really resonant with what the show's even all about. And we're so happy to be a part of it. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And great choice, JT. It's a wonderful poet to pick. But I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, the number 3 spot in our first segment of the evening. We got 2 more fantastic poets lined up. The first one we're going to head to right now, and I'm trying to kind of take a little bit longer so I'm not making you move too fast, JT. We're going to go to Cleveland, Ohio. We're going to talk to the Mama Oladeji.
I think we have that Skype issue. Hey, Mama, if you can hear us, go ahead and hang up and give us a call right back, okay?
Now, for those of you who are listening maybe for the first time or aren't aware of what we're talking about with the Skype issue, is occasionally Skype, which we use as our call platform, will have a little bit of an issue when someone calls in. So we'll just have you hang up and come right back on. But she's already done that. She's a pro. She knows what's up. Here's Mama Oladeji from Cleveland. Hello, Mama. How are you?
Hello, children. How are you?
We're doing really well. We're doing really well. We're happy to be here with you and with all of the other poets on the show. It really adds something nice to our week and ends it in a good way.
Well, you're talking about National Hot Dog Month or Day. And I am the expert on that because I had a hot dog stand. And I created my own sauce. So I'm the expert on that.
And yeah, you are.
Hot dogs.
All right.
And they were sold. Yes. They were sold on South Beach in Florida, which was a very hot spot. And so my hot dogs were hot, whether it was Saturday or not. Okay. So anytime you want to know anything about hot dogs, just hit me up.
All right.
So the name of this piece is the same name as my hot dog stand. The name of my hot dog stand was called Frankly Speaking, Home of the Gourmet Franks. I always give my businesses a poetical name. So And it goes like this. There's a couple on the beach. They have a small room, been on the beach for years, suffered through the worst of it. They have been through every phase, the hippie, the war protesters, the poet, the artist, the free love fest, the heavy duty weed scene. Hell no, we won't go. From there to the boardroom with a haircut and a suit. Back to the beach to retire. She still wore pigtails and flowered skirts. Oh my God, we're moving slower through time, she thought. And those times now seemed so far away. Contrasting times were here with cocaine and ecstasy and mushrooms. Social security check gone too soon. These days were not like the old days, but vegetarians never die. So they danced at night, soaking up the sun in the day, growing wrinkled and red and filled with vitamin D. His display, he'd display his art. We play our boombox, Bob Marley and Elton John, which drew a crowd. We became as one with South Beach. We practiced our yoga or played our musical instruments and chanted, Nam Myoho Renge Kyo, Nam Myoho Renge Kyo. My black friend was so beautiful in her bikini and golden head wrap. She roller skated past and waved. She was a poet like me. She said she'd be back for the session. A few of her poems were about David, the owner of the Franklin Hotel where we live. I and other poets wrote poems about the system that tried to impose its hate upon us free-thinking people. Passersby would give us money for sharing our poems and purchase his artwork. We'd buy a few mangoes and some veggie burgers for our dinner. Next, we'd wait for the sun to go down. At night, my black friend, Ola Deji, would collect $5 for the gourmet franks that she sold to the hungry drunks left over on the beach. Her customers were usually those who had been evacuated from the beach club for maxed out credit cards. Sad looks and broke pockets were not welcome, which made her hot, fat, kosher, gourmet, grilled frank smothered in her special onion sauce even more of a redeeming and tasty treat. As her poetic sign read, frankly speaking, home of the gourmet frank, Ola Deji would chant out her newly learned Spanish words nightly to the dregs of the dejected partygoers. She shouts, Perro caliente, perro caliente. Cebolla salsa, rico delicioso, rico delicioso. Then again in English, hot dog, kosher hot dogs with onion sauce, very delicious. In peace.
Absolutely. Can I tell you how much I love the fact that you took that and went, ran that way. And the other thing is I think it's so great that you used to run a hot dog stand. I don't know why. I think that's fantastic.
David did too. The owner of the hotel. He also had a seniors building out there. And when he see me making like $1,000 a night with the hot dogs, he put all the seniors out and turned that, they just built it into the restaurant called Mangoes, which is still there today.
Wow.
Mangoes.
I have to tell you, I've seriously, and I have absolutely no reason to do this, Mama. There's no reason for me to do this. I have literally gone, I should buy a hot dog stand and start selling hot. I've told JT this too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You sound like you make real money then. What's going on?
And my sauce was the secret weapon. And David would stand out there. He was a Jewish guy. He would stand out there and tell him, see, I'll make my sauce. I had to make it in
That's
his
so
kitchen. Because I managed his hotel, too. And after we put all the old people out, you know, it was just me and him, and I was actually cultivating mangoes because his friend had a restaurant called Coconut, and Coconuts was blowing up. And then here with my little hot dog stand, I'm getting rich too. David said, forget these old people. I'm going to say open the restaurant.
I'm kind of sold on this idea. I think I'm just going to, like, hold everything. I'm starting a hot dog stand.
Yeah.
Quit music to start selling hot dogs.
Where you can work at night after dark, because all those restaurants on the beach were closed up, and then when people were maxed out their credit cards, they didn't have nothing but, like, $5 or $10 left. So it'll be hungry.
Yeah.
So you can get a hot dog and a Pepsi for $5. Like, that was a good deal.
Mm. That sounds great.
I'm actually looking at hot dog vending things for sale right now. I'm actually looking at that right now while we're talking. All right, Mama. I gotta stop going down this rabbit hole. I'm just gonna stay here all night. But thank you so much. Wonderful.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Good night.
Good night. We love you, Mama. Thank you. And that was Mama Oladeji inspiring my next career and calling us from Cleveland, Ohio. The best part about that, JT, is if I decided to do that, how many of my friends, and you've known me such a long time, you can say this, how many of my friends would be surprised?
None.
Zero.
Zero, right? Of them.
And
yeah.
I have no idea why, because nothing I have done in my life has led me to this. But I would so do it.
Oh, it's great.
I would do it like hot dogs sold while I'm dressed like a ninja.
Oh, that'd be great.
You know what I mean? Like the themed. See? Themed.
See, I'm telling you.
Dressed like a pirate. I could sell hot dogs dressed like a pirate.
Oh, Michael.
See? Ugh. See?
Rabbit holes, man. I'm telling you. These rabbit holes are intense.
And by the way, people listening to the show, I think that exactly, I could sing the jingle. I could sing it while I'm standing there. Yo, The best part about this is our show is, this is actually how we talk when there's no one listening too. It's exactly the same way. All right. I got to get off that. Yeah. We got one more person, an awesome poet. I want to give him our full attention. Michael's munching meats and buns.
That's a great name, George. Thanks.
Yep, exactly.
I'm taking that down now while I can.
This is how we knew this was how 2020 was going to end up. There's all kinds of crazy stuff happens, and at the end of it, Michael's munching meats and buns, and he's walking around trying to sell hot dogs during a pandemic. Okay, let's go now to upstate New York. I can't think of a better introduction than that, and let's visit with Zach.
Hello, my friends.
Hello.
Hello, Zach. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Apparently, we're all hot dog lovers tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently so, huh?
Man, it's been a great night. I mean, I don't know how I'm going to follow up after everyone. I mean, you know, you got that beautiful piece by Natalia, and then you got the cover artist, Dennis, the cover master, Dennis, and... You got the great piece by Chris, and but yeah, so I'm gonna do my best. But you guys were talking about National Hot Dog Month and National Hot Dog Day, and that is not something that we have ever heard of up in here in upstate New York.
Wow.
Well, even though you haven't heard of it, it's just like those laws that you haven't heard of, but you're still subject to. You right now, my friend, are living in the middle of National Hot Dog Month.
And I just ate four hot dogs today. <All right.
laughs> Perfect then. So you're doing it without even knowing it.
Right? So up here it's all Zweigels, cuz the Zweigels was made in Rochester, and then I've never had Heber National. I've never had Nathan's or anything. So I didn't know there were so many different hot dogs.
There's many. I feel like you could start studying the world of hot dogs, and it's an ocean where you will never touch the bottom in your lifetime. It's like traveling through the universe.
You could almost say it's a cornucopia of variety. Yes.
It's a cornucopia of corn dogs and hot dogs. I feel like that'd be kind
of uncomfortable trying to swim through a sea of, through an ocean of hot dogs.
You know, you would think so. And you might be right, because I don't know if anybody's ever done that before. JT, what do you I think it would get a little, it would be a little heavy. It'd be hard to move.
Yeah.
Through them all. Yeah. Be like hard to Scrooge McDuck in a bunch of hot dogs.
Right to the bottom.
I don't know. I feel like the diving into that would be less painful than diving into a pool full of coins and money.
Yes, but he was a superhero. JT and I had this discussion. He had superpowers, which is a whole other thing. And then we could go into Jar Jar Binks and the Secret Sith thing. That'll be a whole other discussion. How are you, Zach, besides the whole hot dog thing? How's everything going?
It was actually a really good week. I did a personal record. I devoured a 340-page book in a single 7-hour marathon.
Boom.
And
that's
then,
the power of National Hot Dog Month right there.
Got to, I checked in with my doctor, and my blood sugar, my A1C1, dropped from 8.1 to 6.9 since March. And so, you know, I'm getting closer to not being diabetic. And so, you know, that's progress there. And then I hit over 50,000 views on 220 poems.
Fantastic. What a good day, huh? Or a good week, yeah. I should say. You're doing really, really well.
And now I get to spend it with my World Poetry Open Mic family.
Absolutely. We're so happy that you're here. So let's do this.
Get right into it. This is actually new for me. In my entire career, this is the first for me. I wrote a soliloquy. So this is my first one ever. You know, if you guys have any input on it, you know, don't be afraid to tell me if I missed the point of it. But, you know, so it's called Don't. Stop. Please, stop saying don't. Don't give up. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be sad. Don't keep it bottled up inside. I could go on and on. Don't be scared. God, I hate that one the most. Like, why the hell shouldn't I be scared? Look at everything that's happening. Look, I know you mean well, but when you say that word, it feels like you're trying to control me, and it already feels so out of control. I know you want to help, and it means a lot to know you'll be there if I need help, but I need to do this on my own. End of peace.
Yeah, it's an internal conversation. If someone hasn't had it outright, I think that's an internal conversation that a lot of people have kind of had in one way or another in their lives.
Mm-hmm. You know, especially now where you know, they feel so out of control, and you know, people mean well when they say, you know, Don't worry about it. You know, you'll be okay. It's like, you know, it feels, I know that you mean well, but it feels controlling when you say, like, you're trying to control me. You know, it doesn't feel like I have control over anything. And, but, you know, I recognize that I do that a lot. I always say don't a lot in my poems. And I realize that now, looking at it from a different perspective, that it could be perceived as controlling.
Yeah,
it could be. I think, you know, the beautiful thing about language, however, and I can completely respect where you're coming from, but I think the beautiful thing about language is it kind of takes ideas, emotions, things that are kind of floating out there, and it gives some sort of definition to an idea or a feeling. And specifically because you are defining an idea or a feeling or a concept by using words, you're instantly creating the dichotomy of things that it's not. Right. So if I say this is a table, that instantly means it's not a cup of water. Right. At least in the philosophy of the words. So it's kind of hard to sit there and try to be so circumspect in the word choice, which we have to be as poets, and worry about certain things. Sometimes don't is also an assertion of strength. And it's saying, hey, this person who's pushing against me, when I say don't, I'm pushing back and I'm asserting my own individuality and my own strength as well. So that might be how people are taking it also, instead of it controlling.
Right. I think it just proves that there's more to one side for everything. There's more to one different way of interpreting a situation. And I've always thought that don't is like a supportive, but now I'm also seeing it in that way because one of my followers is, she was abused, and she's from the UK. She was abused, and I think thinking about that kind of situation, I think not feeling in control that don't could be. That she probably could resent that.
Right, right. I totally know what you mean.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's worth thinking about. As poets, we have to think about our words. You know, I mean, that sounds funny to say it that way, but it's true.
Right. Well, it was a great first segment, and getting ready to hear the second segment and. I will talk to you guys in the return engagement.
We'll talk to you then, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye. And that was calling from, or that was, maybe I should actually say the full sentence.
That would be great.
Skipping over names. And that was Zach calling from upstate New York. And that was Michael's brain going at 60 miles an hour when his consciousness was still stuck at 30. All right. Now it's going to be time for us to head into our next segment, which means we need five more unique callers. The number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
And now, your deep thought.
I have to say, when the annals of history look back at this time, they'll realize we've been making one large mistake. The plural of moose is not moose, it's meese. You might think I'm wrong, but you're on the wrong side of history.
And that was your deep thought.
And like any revolutionary, any hero, I have not given up that fight. All right.
Did we? No. This was happened on Wednesday. Did we talk about your wonderful experience with the screaming things that happened?
We did. I talked about that last week because I had just gotten back that afternoon.
That's right.
Yeah, but JT's actually seen the video now. And so, JT, you've heard this sound. What would you think if you heard that sound and you were sitting in a campsite, you were hearing it come through some trees?
I'd be wondering why there is a guy out there ringing a bell leading the charge of a whole bunch of screaming somethings.
It sounded like some Game of Thrones level stuff, didn't
so
it?
Was.
But the bell is the best part. Usually it's one like ding, 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 ding,
ding. Yeah. It was rhythmic, yeah. Too. It was great. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, so for those who don't know, I went up camping the week before last. We set up camp. Everything was peaceful. Everything was beautiful. I was happy to get away and to get some peace and quiet. And we started hearing this horrific screaming sound, and not from one thing, but from a whole lot of things coming from inside the forest. And it turned out that it was probably over 1,000 goats. JT, are you seeing in the chat room really quickly? A lot of people are saying their sound is muted.
Barbara's is okay.
All right.
Well, obviously Jim heard us.
Screaming Goats sounds like a good name for a band. Oh, it's better now. Okay.
Okay, good.
Woo. That's all we need. All right.
All right.
So At any rate, yeah, that's I've shown JT the video of that since then, and maybe I will release this said video.
It is so incredible.
Wonderful. All right. Hey, so we have some great callers here. I don't have another submission to do since the guy whose submission I found I had missed is on the call or is on the show tonight. So I'm not going to do that and potentially read anything that he might share. So we're going to go, first of all, to our first caller, guy in the number one spot here in our second segment. It is none other than George calling from Michigan. Good evening, George.
Hello, Michael.
How are you, sir?
How are you?
Doing really well, thank you. I'm happy to be here and happy to be talking to you.
Oh, yeah, well, I just got back into town from D.C. again.
Wow, man, he is a frequent flyer. That's amazing.
You're there a lot, you know. You get called for a lot of emergencies.
Yeah, aren't you going to ask me why, what I did?
Of course, yeah. Why were you there this time?
Well, he wanted to learn how to count down from 100 by sevens. And so I flew over and helped him out. And I tried to, but he really struggled. So then he finally said, well, can we do this in tens? Anyway, but I move on to my board.
The question is right now, how many people listening to this, even live or on the replay, are trying to count back from 107s now that you mentioned that?
That actually happened, you know. He actually...
Oh, no, I know. I heard him do it.
Wow, Jesus. This is wonderful leadership here. We've got the pillar with a rock of freedom and knowledge here in America. Don't forget it. Okay. This poem is called, I wrote in June, is called "You Must Come Off This Withered Coast." You must come off this withered coast. It is tarnished and has lost its gild. It has dulled its gleam by leaders mean. It has sown the seeds so stained of greed. You must wing me to the harbors clean. You must shed this continental drift. It is pungent stench of acts gone wrong, has unmasked its ills and spit them out onto guiltless children of weathered skin. You must wing me to bridges free. You must shed this grip of vanities. It is tethered up with hate and strife and shot itself down ranks of young, a dragon's breath of deceitfulness. You must wing with me to soaring equity and join me in my fantasy. And I also have a little epigram thing from Robert Greene Ingersoll that says, justice should remove the bandage from her eyes long enough to distinguish between the vicious and the unfortunate. And
thank you. Really enjoyed that. Really good. Yeah. Yeah. JT and I were both really enjoying that, listening to that one there too.
Woo. Hi. Sorry. I got things just, you know, bing and bong everywhere tonight.
Yeah, JG's got tons of sounds happening over where he is.
Touched two wires together for that one.
Felt like it.
Just don't sit on wires that are crossed. That is a bad idea.
It definitely does light your light up, life up, though.
he's learned that the hard way. That's
I know.
The thing is crazy. We realize that we're we're about a little bit over 3 months away. I'm about 4 months away from having beginning our ninth year of the show. Wow. And we realize we have made so many mistakes at this point. But the best part about this is we never seem to make old mistakes.
It just keeps happening. There's just new mistakes you can make in every possible way. We're just getting better at making them now.
That's right. You know, and what really scary is that sometimes you make the same one two or three times.
Yep.
And then you go,
it does happen.
That's a forehead. Then you slapped your forehead a couple times. And
like the first time you're not even like competent enough to know that you made the mistake.
Well, we're being taught by the master of mistake makers, and so it's okay. But hey, yes, it's a great night. We've been that first segment was just full of great stuff. I can't believe it. So I'm going to move over and let some other people climb on here.
All right. Hey, thank you so much, George. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you during the return.
Thanks.
And that was George calling from Michigan, leading off our second segment this evening. All right. Now we're going to travel to the scariest state in the Union. It's when you get off the plane, the first thing you hear in the distance is, welcome to Pennsylvania. We're going to go visit Jim, the most dramatic and goth poet from that state.
Hello. Would you
Hello,
like
Jim. How are you? brilliant.
And that calls for a dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly.
Okay. That's my will to fight is gone, Jim. Just you can dilly all over the place. I'll just forget about it in the morning.
What? what are we talking about?
I don't even know anymore.
Who the heck are you?
What is this? Why am I on the phone right
now? Who am I?
How's everything in your world, sir?
Been trying to get through the week. It's this mask is really. The mask I have to wear, it's beating me left, right, and center. I come home and I was like, I want to go to bed.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just kicking my butt.
Sorry to hear that. There's the mask thing is a very frustrating kind of scenario. I'm lucky enough, in one of the places where I work, where since I'm singing, I get to take it off. But anytime I leave the stage, it has to be on, and it's a bit frustrating. But I'm sure it's much worse to have to wear it all day long.
Yeah, well, some of the rooms are depending on what the rooms are. In addition to the mask, we have to wear a face shield.
Yep.
Ooh. Well, now, see, I was looking at a face shield and not a mask. Face shields seem fun because you can draw mustaches and stuff.
Some patients have droplet precautions, so we have to wear a face shield.
True. Okay.
In addition to the mask. But enough about that.
Yeah.
I see. I know you want some things, but be quiet. All right. So I'll get into it. I forgot. Yeah. National Hot Dog Month. What I'm going to do. I'm going to be frank.
Fantastic.
I'll get into it. I'm going to do not the one I sent you. Since you inspired it, I'll let you do it next week.
Okay.
In my absence. This one is Ponder the Pursuit. Pondering the pursuit of a poorly penned poem, proving I'm not always number one with a bullet. And as I consider how this could be an analogy on my life as a child of God, my cats are in the corner, wondering when I'll refill the water bowl. End of poem.
Really enjoyed that. Was that a Fall Out Boy reference I heard in there?
Not that I'm aware of. I'm familiar with Fall Out Boy.
I wonder if he was referencing something else that then was some phrase that got connected in, because I won't even give it away. But I heard some great stuff in there. I really enjoyed that. It was well done.
Thank you.
You got that, sir. Thank you. All right. Now, do you have something you're going to share for the return?
I'm probably not going to stay on that long. I've been up since like 4 o'clock this morning, and I'm tired.
Fair enough.
Totally understand like said, that. Yep.
Like
yep.
I said, the mask has been kicking my butt, especially this last week or so.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, we understand if you can't make it, you know, we'll wait until we can hear from you again. I do apologize again for missing your email. So I will keep my eye out too if next week you decide to send something else in. Okay.
No, I'll let you read that one. Like I said, you're the one who inspired it.
Okay. Perfect. I will all do right. so then.
Yep. At eight. I'll stay here till the end of the segment, and I'm going to go bye bye.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir. Have a wonderful evening. Okay.
All right. You too.
All right. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. We need to have the sound of lightning and laughter in the background. Yeah.
Yeah.
Calling from Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Perfect.
Okay.
It's feeling more and more like SCTV here all of the time. And anybody who's ever seen that show knows exactly what I'm talking about. Let's go now to Alabama, a.k.a. Al. And let's talk with Stan.
Good evening.
Hello, Stan, you there? Good evening. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you. It was great to hear from James. It was.
Yeah, this has been a pretty great show. I'm really enjoying it.
Boy.
Yeah. How's everything in your world? How's everything going with you?
Well, hopefully things seem to be slowing down. I'm actually getting some time to write. I'm actually getting some time to get back on the air.
Wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Happy to hear that anyway. we need more of your poetry in the world, my friend.
Oh, boy. I'm telling you. It's been hectic. And I am so, so happy that I was here tonight, not only to hear Chris, Barbara, Mama, but Dennis Dewing, Langston Hughes, and that specific poem. Yeah. Wow. Talk about right on time.
Absolutely. I feel just as privileged to be here myself.
I hear you.
Yeah. So what do you have for us this evening, sir?
Well, I'll tell you. I thought I'd do a piece. It was actually taken from a quote. The moral arc of the universe bends at the elbow of justice. And that was from Martin Luther King. And the piece I'm doing is called Domestic Abuse. Trapped by a contagion, no escape. Rage vented on a hapless victim. And compassion withers from the heat of the hate and fear within. A child cries in terror and dread as a loved one erupts in violence. One who should nurture now attacks an innocent with no defense. Of too many years to run, resist, an elder is mistreated and harmed. From behind locked doors in silence, often unable to raise an alarm. These are scenarios all of violence where those in our lives hold authority. Yet responsibility to care and tend disregarded souls corrupted morally. When one of those who protect and serve among some the power corrupts and perverts, the injustice wrought on American lives while code of silence leaves legal action inert. The domestic usually seen as at home, and our nation, if in compassion, that to us all. Show no tolerance of abuse by any authority, or security and peace in all homes will fall.
Wow. JT, I'm going to let you go first. What did you think of that thing?
That. Well done, Stan. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stunningly well done. Really love having you calling and reading and just the material you present and everything. Everything you bring with it is just stellar, and it's always a real treat.
Well, it's just that this is a time, if there ever was a time, for us to remember that many of the people in our lives who do have authority over us by one means or another are still only human beings. They're simply human. They're not above us. They're just as human as we are, mm-hmm. You know, and you cannot give that much power to these people and expect them not to react as human beings, which includes some of the more negative aspects of the human condition. That's why there has to be checks and balances. And right now, we're in a time when there isn't any checks and balances.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, I'm just trying to do what I can and educate myself and learn and help. Things move in the right direction, but it's really going to be interesting to see how things all end up turning out. I'm not the only voice out there.
No, you're not. And that's the point.
Yeah.
That's the thing we have to realize. We really are not alone, and we are certainly not helpless.
That's right.
100% true. 100%. Stan, thank you, sir. We really appreciate you. And we are we're definitely looking forward to seeing what, if anything, you're able to bring to the return.
It'll be my pleasure. On to the next gentleman.
Thank you, sir. And that was Stan calling from Alabama, rounding out our second segment. It's been a solid show, JT.
Yes,
it has. A really solid show. Any thoughts before we head in to... The thing, otherwise known as
the return
engagement.
I think one of the problems I have dating anybody, JT, is when I start dating them and then they find out about the show and then they listen to the show and then they hear that and any semblance of cool is gone. When they hear the antics that we have recorded with me.
Very true.
All it takes is one Charlie Pinkerton and that whole thing's off.
Yeah.
That's all right.
They just don't
whatever.
See the talent
they can't take a joke.
All of that.
They're not for me in the first place.
That's right.
All right. Here we go. So it's time for us to head into the return engagement, which means anybody who wants to call and share another piece, you can. Anybody who wants to call in and share their first piece of the night, you can. The number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. All right, and we're back here for the return engagement. We've got some great people lined up here. JT, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
do you only eat, consume hot dogs in the month of July, or do you spread out your hot dog consumption to other months in the year?
I also spread it out. I have to.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why do you have to?
Well, there are days in October and November where I just want a hot dog because of the sports.
Really?
Yeah. I associate
it's it. It's a sports thing, isn't it?
I associate it to sports. I don't really associate it to summer. I associate it to sports.
So. You know, I think that's the case. I by far eat more hot dogs when I'm around like a baseball game in the summer.
Definitely. Yeah.
You know, and we, and of course in Denver, we have Jim's, was it Jim's Biker Haven or what's it called? The hot dog place now that used to be a stand.
Oh, that's right.
In downtown Denver. And now it's Biker Haven. I'm mixing up two different places.
It's got to be something. Jim's. Yeah.
It's, and now they sell them in the park and it's really good stuff. I mean, some made, you know, caramelized onions and, cream cheese and all this amazing stuff on these hot dogs. See, I think that's kind of what I'm getting at too. I don't really eat hot dogs unless it's attached to some other event. It's not like I'm going to sit there silently and eat a hot dog with no external stimulation.
Right.
Which is strange because why is the hot dog not enough for us?
We have to associate it to something else. It's amazing. We are such an interesting very strange culture with that.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. But it's weird to just sit there and eat a hot dog.
It is.
Or maybe we're overthinking this just a little bit.
But sometimes a hot dog is just a hot dog.
Yes, yes. I think this is a time for contemplation and a time for understanding our associations with hot dogs.
Yes.
I feel like this could be a book that I write.
It might be. After the Atlas.
A National Obsession by Michael Amade. The hard-hitting, yet so tasty, memoir of a nation.
The sandwich that could be but isn't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or ultra sandwich inside the National Obsession with hot dogs.
There you go.
See? All right. So anyway, moving on. Nobody take that idea. It's genius, I tell you. Genius. Let's head to our callers right now. Let's go to Dennis in the number one spot, calling from Michigan. All right. Hello, Dennis. Welcome back.
Hello. I'm back. All right.
Well, thank you for sitting through all of that. Although we did have some good Queen music playing. That was pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Yeah. JT doing some very diverse choices here musically. Mm-hmm.
Trying to.
Yeah, he sure is. Good stuff. Good stuff. Most of it.
I understand, Dennis. I totally understand.
Might have been why I started that conversation, too. So anyway, now that we're in the return, what do you have for us?
Well, I'm going to stick with Langston Hughes. How could I go wrong with that?
Good. How could you? No kidding.
You had mentioned an earlier volume of his work. The title was The Weary Blues. Well, I have the title poem from that book. It's The Weary Blues. Droning a drowsy syncopated tune, rocking back and forth to a mellow croon, I heard that Negro play down on Lenox Avenue the other night, by the pale, dull parlor of an old gaslight. He did sway. He did sway to the tune of those weary blues. With his ebony hands on each ivory key, he made that piano moan with a melody. Oh, blues. Swaying to and fro on his rickety stool, he played that sad, raggy tune like a musical fool. Sweet blues coming from a black man's soul. Oh, blues. in a deep song voice with a melancholy tone. I heard that Negro sing that old piano moan. Ain't got nobody in this world. Ain't got nobody but myself. I's gonna quit my frowning and put my troubles on the shelf. Thump, thump, thump went his foot on the floor. He played a few more chords, then he sang some more. I got the weary blues. I can't be satisfied. Got the weary blues and can't be satisfied. I ain't happy no more and wish that I had died. And far into the night, he crooned that tune. The stars went out and so did the moon. The singers stopped playing and went to bed, while the weary blues echoed through his head. He slept like a rock or a man that's dead. End of poem, a poem by Langston Hughes.
So, Dennis, you're quite good at reading Langston Hughes, I would like to officially state. really, really are enjoying the choices that you are bringing to us and the way you're presenting them. It's really helping them come alive. And I think the people can hear, who maybe aren't familiar with his work, why he is our poet of the month.
Yep. Excellent choice. Again, JT, excellent choice. And we're glad we can dig into this treasure of poetry. It's good stuff, but it's so deep and meaningful, and it's a pleasure to share.
Wonderful. Hey, Dennis, thank you so much for sharing it. Thank you so much for being a part of this. Really means a lot to us.
All right. I hope to have a couple more Langston Hughes poems next week. We'll find out if people get ahead of me and scoop me on a poem or two. I'll have to do some scrambling, but it's all good. I'll have backups.
Wonderful.
Hey,
so
thank you, sir.
I'm going to step aside away from the mic and let the next poet step up, and I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, leading off our return engagement. All right. Now we're traveling not that far.
No.
To Lansing, Michigan. We're going to visit once again with Chris. Chris, welcome back, sir.
Yay. How in the heck am I supposed to follow that?
I feel like you can, but yeah. I would have that same feeling. Let me do this to provide a slight... and I'll send this, I'll put this in the chat room, but to provide a slight reprieve for you, I asked Natalia Govsha where people can find her work. She said that she's on, if you look up Natalia Govsha on LinkedIn, she's there. I did find her on All Poetry as well. And she has a book called Look at the Sky on Amazon.
Oh, sweet. Sweet. I'll get her name off of the chat
room
and pull it up. Thank you.
All right. You've got it, sir.
Appreciate it.
No problem.
Now, how do I... Oh, let's see. I had three to choose from. They were past rights. One was in 2001, and one was 2014, and one was 2015, so I'll do... Damn, 2014, I guess. Dang you, Dennis. Okay, now I got to get panache. Okay, I'm ready. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. A moment shared. Memories. seems we all have them. Good, less good, somewhat even less good. Was at a mall. I was just back from, a very dark place. Very dark and empty time. She paused me in mid-step, took my breath. And I had the nerve to speak. I did. And I asked her to share a moment. And she laughed. Laughed in my face. But not with me. Was at me. And then dismissed my existence. And turned and walked away. You know, I remember that laugh. It had a fullness, a completeness about it. It was honest and silly, fleeting and touching. It was uniquely hers. And yet now, also mine. And it was a moment we shared. And I remember it still. The end.
That was beautiful.
So when you ask, they can still share a moment even when they don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautifully done, Chris. Beautifully done.
It was real.
As always.
She was drop dead gorgeous, man. You don't see people like that often. I mean, there are some memorable people out there. She was one, and she shared a moment. It may not have been the way I wanted it, but it was shared.
Yeah, I can kind of resonate with that. It's you know, there's lots of attractive people out there in the world, but there just seem to be really rare moments where you see someone for just, and it might not be that they look that way any other time. It's just the way that it suddenly connects that you just remember for years and years and years. Yeah.
I thought that was apropos. That had panache. Not as good as Dennis, it is true, but it was memorable to me.
Definitely was. We
thank
loved
you
it.
Guys, go ahead and bring the next
one
up.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
I really enjoyed that. You too, sir. Thank you. And that was Chris Kahn from Lansing, Michigan, in the number 2 spot here in the return engagement. Some solid work tonight, you know, just some solid readings, some great choices, everything right down the line. Really enjoying this. Let's go now to Connecticut to connect again with Barbara. All right. Hello, Barbara.
Hello. I'm here.
All right.
Here.
Perfect. Welcome back.
Oh, this show is great tonight. Just great.
It really feels good, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really good. So I was going to read something from you and then changed my mind because I feel it's the anticlimax with Dennis. So I'll wait till next week to do it. And I'm going to read something from my book. If you have my book, it's on page 128. But it's called What Am I Missing? When you have had it, you will know what I mean when I say an indescribable feeling is gone from my life. That moment when you look into someone's eyes and see the knowledge you and he are together in thought and feeling as if you were sinking into a comfortable sofa together at the same time. The feeling of being content with the moment, for you need nothing else but the other's presence, and you are a couple in everything, enjoying the same things and enjoying each other in this enjoyment. Call it a circle of contentment, for it starts with the idea and moves through the feeling and finally ends in the action and continues with joy as each action brings another one, gathering the experiences together into a ball living inside of you. The circle begun and continued on the moment we met. It's the beginning, middle, and end of the us, and is what I miss the most. Amorphous and full of angst, the circle is broken. No one to take its place. Each moment unframed, for there is no one with whom to share each idea, and no one to enjoy what you love, and especially no one to watch enjoying as you enjoy. No longer am I a spectator of your joy, making sideways glances as we experience the moment and sharing afterwards, seeing your eyes alight in the aftermath of our sharing. End poem.
That was really affecting to me, Barbara.
Thank you.
It was really beautifully done.
Affected me too tonight. That's the problem. When I read from my book, those last poems just get me. So, you know, I can't read them too often because they get me sad. Because I think I put so much sadness into them that it's universal, I guess, to everyone, the sadness. And I didn't realize it when I was writing them because they were so personal. And that's when I realized that the more personal you write, the more universal it becomes, mm-hmm. which is really like it.
Yeah.
It's like strange. Anyway, yeah, that did affect me tonight too. And it's that sharing. I think you miss most of all with your partner, that that person who knew you. And if you want to see, Michael, if you want to see a TV show that I think you'll really love, it's called You're the Worst. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's really great. It's about this couple, and they are not usual. I think you'll really like it.
Sounds right up my alley, Barbara. I will attempt to check it out. Thank you.
You're welcome. But beware, you could get addicted to it.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. I'll be aware.
Okay. All right. Because what I hate most about TV shows that are half hours on Netflix is that they're like bubble gum. You take one. You start watching.
I know that's
kind
of the thing I've been worried about.
Yeah. And then you just keep watching and watching and watching, and soon it's 2 hours and you didn't realize it.
Yep. That sounds like my
life.
So
enjoy.
Okay. So.
All right. And have a great week, Michael.
That.
And I hope you listen to my show because it was funny. It was really good. I had two women on who were really good. So, and you deserve to come on because remember we planned that visit and you never did come back.
That's true. So maybe we'll do it when we get ready to launch the magazine. How about that?
And
good
then
idea.
It, so it'll be a little bit
good
closer
idea, to
the holidays.
But hurry up, because like I said, my show gets filled up easily. Amazing.
Okay.
So,
well, this the good thing about this magazine is it's the long game.
Yeah.
You know, we're good. We'll make it work one way or another.
Yeah, okay. The magazine sounds
Barbara,
great.
Barbara, thank you so much.
Really great. Okay. You take care.
All right.
Bye, JT. JT,
you
are awesome, like a superhero tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
Talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Talk to you later. Thank you. See, she knew exactly how to compliment you, JT.
That's very
she knew
true.
Exactly how to do it. You're like a superhero. Yes. By the way, that was Barbara calling from Connecticut in the number three spot here in the return. She did a great job.
Yes.
All right. Now, let's see if we're having any of these Skype issues here. Let's go to Zach in New York. See if it works.
Sounds like he's there.
All right. Hello? Hey, Zach, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Perfect. All right. Happy to hear that. So we are now here. We're in the number four position. It's been a pretty good night, don't you think?
Absolutely. Well, it's always a great night on World Poetry Open Mic Night.
Well, you know, it is true. And we really do appreciate the positivity also. It's great some nights too, where you can listen to the quality of the work and go, man, it's just really there tonight too. And it's there most Fridays, but tonight really seems on point. I guess I'm interested to see what you have to throw into the mix now.
Absolutely. So, this is one called, Never Too Late. I didn't tell you I loved you because I thought that you already knew. I never told you you meant the world to me because I thought it was clear to see. Or maybe that's just the way I wanted it to be. But now that you've gone away, I ask myself if it's too late to tell you those things. A voice answered back, it's never too late. End of piece.
I really, really enjoy that one. I think that's a message a lot of people need to be hearing too, that it's never too late. So many people tell themselves that.
Absolutely. I think, you know, that's the whole thing of regret too, that, you right. know, the think, oh, it happened years ago. And you know, they keep focusing on it. And, you know, I think that's the thing is, of letting go is, by saying things that you never thought that you could say.
Right. Right. Big time. I think you're in a great track with your work right now. And I'm really happy to see you grow and see you hitting these different milestones. And I'm not going to announce anything for you because we haven't talked about that, but you got something big coming up in the next couple months, which I'm really excited to be helping you with. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes for you.
Absolutely. I'm excited to see how it goes for me too. And, you know, thank you guys so much for, you know, letting me into your World Poetry Open Mic family. And, you know, you guys made the whole world a different place for me. Being able to recognize that, you know, my work is important to people, and what anyone says matters. And, you know, it just made me think about who I am as a person and what value I bring to myself and to people. And that's something I never had before. So thank you guys so much.
We love hearing that. Thank you, sir. And it's a pleasure.
All right, I'll talk to you guys. Actually, I won't talk to you guys next week because I will be on vacation up in my own little island. I won't be. I'll probably listen in, but I'll sure. be sending a submission.
All right. Well, hey, have a great time on vacation. I was going to say, I spend most of these shows on my own little mental island. So, I mean, it's very similar. But you'll actually physically be on an island.
Is it called Michael's Meats and Buns?
No, but that's a new restaurant that will be opening there soon.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. We'll talk to you then. Thank you so much, sir. And that was Zach on from upstate New York in the number 4 position. Now we're going to go to position number 5 and see how the phone system is dealing there with Stan in Alabama. Hello, Stan. You there?
Good evening.
Good evening. Wow. Welcome back, my friend.
Man, I've got to say it. Tonight has been quite a night.
Kind of has, hasn't it? Surprises me how good it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you've been part of that already.
Yes, I know. It's great to be here. Oh, I've got to tell you, anytime I can get back here, it's a good day, period.
It is for us, too. It is for us, too. We absolutely love it when you can join us. That's just a big thing for us. It's a lot of fun. So what do you have for us this time here? Now that we're here.
Well, it seems to be sort of a roll of lament. So I'm going to continue it. This is called Controlling. Arising in another morn of mourning. To face the oppressive, gnawing pain of a life minus your presence. Gage trudged begrudgingly on, a routine of emotionless motion. Political, social issues, the weather, all traumas, dramas, and banter, irrelevant. My heartbeat seems equally so. Mechanical responses to a world sans color, all in gray. Even a laugh reduced to a conditioned response. I maintain my way in existence on instinct and redundant actions. A facade of control to the world, while my heart trapped in oblivion. Despair a constant companion in the absence of their life. In peace.
Wow. I found that one really powerful. JT, what do you think, my friend?
No, I'm right there with you. That was, yeah, I was right there. Great piece.
Yeah, Stan, really well done. I felt that one pretty intensely, though. There's a lot there.
Well, I think for a lot of people, that's what it is. We lose someone very close. That's a part of us, whether they leave us or other circumstances. And there's that void.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times, just to get along with the mourning process, we have to put on that facade. We have to go through the motion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. And it's so much easier said than done. But I think it is really turns into a necessity, doesn't it? Just to survive. Yeah.
Yeah, because life continues.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But a really honest piece too. Because I think there was so much that was talked about there that are very real, and a lot of people listening to the show have dealt with in one way or another. We all recognize it. Yeah. Really well done. Really well done.
Thank you.
I feel like I can say that a lot, but it's the truth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stan, we appreciate you, and thank you again.
Well, I greatly appreciate you guys and all the poets out there. And may I say, on to the next.
Thank you, sir. And that was Stan Conn from Alabama, rounding out our return engagement. It's been a really wonderful night, everyone. Really impressed. not only by your commitment to National Hot Dog Month, but to the work that you brought tonight in the community that we shared this evening. So, JT, do you have anything you want to add, my friend?
Just everybody stay safe, wear your masks, please.
Yes. It's there may be some difficult months ahead for us. We'll see. There may be some more difficult shutdown months coming up. You know, it might we'll still be here. We'll be here for you.
Oh yeah.
We're not going anywhere. Your family's still going to be here, and we are looking forward to whatever the storm is, weathering it with you. So, from Ursa, the studio dog, from Novia, the studio cat, from Hemingway, the other studio dog, or the dog of Studio B, as we should say, from JT and myself, thank you for spending your evening with us. We love you. We'll see you next time. And until next time, keep on writing. Good night.